Yes. All right, file is saved. Coffee has been drunk. I'm not drunk. Here we are. We're in Fort Collins, Colorado today. It's snowing outside thanks to global warming. I'm sorry, I mean climate change. Climate change. It's not global warming. I logged on to Facebook this morning. I just saw stupidity fly at me from every direction. We're going to talk about something I saw on Facebook. Oh, the Facebook. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Whining, blah. Blah, 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 head up your ass, blah, blah, blah. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Just like back when I was your age and I had to walk uphill 25 miles in the snow, just like today, in the snow. I had to walk uphill 25 miles in the snow just to get snow because everything was uphill. Why is that? It's because I am the Great One himself, and this is the Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. That homes in on and destroys, fucking destroys, stupid motherfuckers all around the world. It's a statist-seeking cruise missile. So when I release it, it just automatically homes in on the nearest statist and kills them. Occasionally, there will be survivors from the nuclear explosion. That's when we mow them down with the 50 caliber machine gun. So, howdy y'all. It is the 13th of April, 2014. I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. Give me Bitcoin, give me Namecoin. Beg, 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 beg. Begging. Cyber begging. Give me your fucking Bitcoins, you fucking evil capitalist pigs. You're so greedy. You're not spreading the wealth around, you fucking greedy capitalist pigs, you. How dare you not give me your Bitcoins? You must hate children. That's what it is. You're probably racist also. In the control room over on the other side of the glass is the lovely and adorable Randy. And what else do I need to tell them? I did that. Yes, if you want to send us email, that's God, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Send us your email, comments, pictures, complaints, what the fuck ever. Leave comments on the website. And just to throw it out again, if you actually ask an intelligent question, I will answer your question, most likely in a podcast. I've done that twice now because between my website and the YouTube channel where all the trolls post stuff about how fucked up ANCAPs are, I've only really had two intelligent questions that were worth responding to. I've had people agreeing with me, and I appreciate it if you just post and say, hey, I agree with you, or your podcast is great, or whatever. That's wonderful. I'm just saying, if you ask an intelligent question, then I will try to provide you an intelligent answer. Speaking of intelligence, or lack of intelligence, oh, fucking hell. We need to talk about what I'm watching. I was going to talk about the documentaries, but we talk about, so Brian Greene is apparently somebody who's trying to be, what's that idiot's name? Fuck. Not Brian Greene, the other idiot. The idiot who, he does all the science shit. He's the black guy. It's the idiot who wants to be Carl Sagan. Yeah, fuck. I don't know. If you're out there, you know who I'm talking about. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Right. The token black guy selected by the government to try to replace Carl Sagan because, of course, Carl Sagan, even though he was a leftist, Carl Sagan was white, and so that's racist. So Neil deGrasse Tyson is trying to be the new Carl Sagan, and he's not. I mean, I have a lot of disagreements, I guess, had, because Carl Sagan's dead. There's a lot of things I disagreed with Carl Sagan about politically, but as far as his reputation as a real scientist, not a pretend scientist, and as far as his ability to present information, I mean, if you have not seen the Cosmos TV series, even though much of it is now, I guess invalidated is the right word, because since then we've learned so much more about science and astronomy and, of course, about string theory and all this other stuff. You know, science has moved on since he made the TV series Cosmos. But if you watch Cosmos, just the presentation is brilliant. You know, and everybody made fun of him for billions and billions of stars. But when you watch Cosmos, like, Carl Sagan is just so relaxing, and he's just like, he explains things, and you take the starship of the imagination, right? And just, it's a beautiful TV series to watch and experience. Then we got Neil deGrasse Tyson, who wants to be Carl Sagan so bad that he probably has to wear adult diapers because he's probably pissing himself on a regular basis. Well, Brian Greene, I think, wants to be Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I'm watching this series of PBS TV documentaries with Brian Greene, who apparently wrote a book, and it was supposed to be about string theory. That pause was because I was trying to fucking remember the word for what it was supposed to be about. If it was actually about that, I'd probably be able to remember the word. And okay, they finally got around to string theory, like an hour and a half into the fucking documentary series. Hey, look, we're finally going to talk about what the fucking documentary is supposed to be about. This is not a joke, like the first 3.5 minutes of every episode are this dramatic build-up to what they're going to talk about, followed by this fucking endless progression of corporate logos for the people who sponsored the shit. Speaking of corporate logos, there's this brilliant piece of product placement in one of the episodes where they're in a baseball stadium, and in the background you can see all the signs for the corporations. And of course, they could have digitally removed that, because in the documentary, that's a new word, in the documentary, they digitally added graphics to illustrate what he was talking about while standing in the baseball field. So they could have easily put the graphics over the corporate logos in the background, but of course they're not going to do that because PBS is driven by corporations. Another high point of this series, in addition to taking an hour and a half to finally get around to what fucking string theory actually is, and then not really putting a lot of effort into explaining it. I mean, there's this very loose explanation, but me being a fucking moron, I was expecting something a little better, a little more in depth. I mean, you know, I don't need to have the entire set of equations that make up string theory thrown at me, because I don't know enough about advanced mathematics to deal with that. It would just fry my little brain. But I was expecting something maybe a little more in depth than this, but that was my fault because I'm watching a PBS documentary and I had high expectations. I was wrong. I was wrong to do that. One of the high points of this series is when Brian Greene took the time to explain to the viewers what acceleration is. See, acceleration is like if you're driving in your car and you push on the gas pedal and the car goes faster, that's acceleration. Wow, Brian, I'm so happy that you explained that to me. But then again, I suppose the average PBS viewer wouldn't know what the term acceleration means. You know, the other thing I hate about this series is the way it's all gotta, it's like everything. I've talked about this so many times before. I've talked about this with Mythbusters and other, it's like the way everything has to be so fucking dramatic, right? When Carl Sagan is on Cosmos, Carl Sagan says, "And as we look into the universe, we see billions and billions of stars going back in time. And the farther out we look, the longer that light has been traveling to reach us. So we are, in effect, seeing backwards in time." Just nice, calm, enunciated, coherent. Now here's how Brian Greene would explain that. But when you look up into the sky, what do you actually see? Could you be seeing other things other than just what you think you're seeing? And what ramifications could this have? When you look into the sky, what you're actually seeing is light, that it's accelerated, just like in your car when you push on the gas pedal and it accelerates. This light has been traveling, and it's going really, really fast. It's going so astonishingly fast that when scientists first figured out how fast it was going, they couldn't believe how fast it was going, because Einstein was the first person who figured this out. And I'm going to reference Einstein in every fucking series over and over and over as if he's the only scientist that has ever lived. And I am going to keep Einstein's cock in my mouth and swallow all of his cum, because Einstein is a fucking genius, even though he was wrong about a whole lot of things, including the entire fucking concept of quantum mechanics and string theory, which he didn't believe in. But he's still the greatest scientist ever, and I'm gonna lick his asshole as much as I can lick his asshole, because as that light is coming back, it's traveling, and it's traveling through time. And what if we could travel through time? And that's how the entire fucking series is. It's just him trying to make everything so fucking dramatic. And they've got all these dramatic reenactments of scientists writing equations on chalkboards. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. And I know that dramatic reenactment of a scientist writing something on a chalkboard sounds like an oxymoron. And the Einstein bootlicking, I mean, look, Einstein came up with some brilliant shit. But Einstein didn't believe in quantum physics. Einstein didn't believe all of this stuff. He's the guy who said God does not play dice with the universe, because Einstein believed everything was certain. And of course, our current understanding, which of course can change at any fucking moment, but still, our current understanding of how things work on a very small level is all of this uncertainty stuff that you've heard about, if you pay any attention at all to physics, quantum mechanics, yada, 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 right? The idea that a particle isn't in a particular place until you measure where it's at, you know, and this whole notion that what the hell is it? You can know exactly where it is and you can know exactly when it is, but you can't know both at the same time or something. Yeah, I'm not a quantum theory mechanic expert. My knowledge is very general, but still, even I know that Einstein was wrong about a lot of stuff. If we could just, you know, give Einstein due for what he did, and a lot of other scientists were actually working on the same things Einstein was working on, and, you know, Einstein did not create all of this in a vacuum, and other people refined Einstein's techniques, and yada, yada, yada. See, yes, Einstein was a really smart guy, but God damn it, the fucking ass-licking is every fucking episode. And then there was a new revelation from one of the greatest scientists the world has ever seen. I like roll my eyes. Oh, gee, I wonder who Brian Greene thinks might be the greatest scientist to ever live. I wonder if it's Albert Einstein. Oh my God, it's Albert Einstein. I must be fucking psychic. Other things I'm watching right now are Game of Thrones. And so I'm into it enough now, as in into it enough, into enough episodes. I think have I watched the first 4 episodes or the first 6? I'm not even sure. It might be the first 6. It's definitely not up to the level of Spartacus. But it's still, I mean, it's pretty good. I'm going to stick with it, at least for the near future, to see how it all turns out. Although, I saw a YouTube video, something called, like, Honest, what the hell was it called? Honest Trailers, or something like this. It was like a 3 or 4 minute trailer for Game of Thrones. You know, with essentially with a bunch of spoilers. And so I know everybody dies. So that, I'm looking forward to that. So we'll see. We'll see who dies. It looks interesting enough. I want to see who dies, and who doesn't die, and where they go with it. They killed the weird, creepy dude who wanted to fuck his sister. You know, the guy who called himself the dragon? I don't remember what the character's name was, because I don't care, because he's kind of weird and creepy. And yeah, so he's dead, so I'm going to say that's a positive. Although I suppose as a character, he could have been useful for more creepiness in the future. Anyhow, so that's Game of Thrones. Watching that, I'm going to hang with it. The other thing I'm watching is American Horror Story. And I figured out what's wrong with American Horror Story. So here's the thing. I'm like... that was great. I almost fell over. I'm just standing here and I almost topple over sideways. That was pretty fucking awesome, huh, Randy? Like, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I'm not a weeble. I fall over. Okay. Before I fall over, let me finish this thought. American Horror Story, here's what's wrong with it. It's too soap opera-y for me. It's like, oh, we got everybody's personal problems and all this other shit. And I talked about how the characters are so fucking cliche. I did talk about that on this podcast, right? Yes, okay. Anyway, I gotta figure out why, though. Because it's a TV series. And you've got to stretch it out. And of course, I mean, normally this is not a big deal. I mean, like, you know, whatever, Babylon 5 or Spartacus or Firefly. I saw a rumor on the internet. I have no idea if it's true. I saw this somewhere. I saw this thing that said Netflix. Is it Netflix? Somebody, I think it's Netflix, is got the rights to bring back Firefly. Whether or not this is true, I have no idea. If it is true, I hope they don't fuck it up. Anyway, with any TV series, there's going to be drama because, first of all, drama is what drives a TV series. Right? It's what drives a story. Without drama is conflict. So without conflict, you have no fucking story, right? So to have a story, you got to have conflict. You got to have character development and all this other stuff. The reason American Horror Story is too soap opera-y for me is because it's supposed to be horror. And in the horror genre, especially the visual genre, maybe less so in literature, but in the visual genre, the only reason characters exist in a horror movie is to die. That's all they're there for. Nobody gives a shit about their personal problems. Nobody cares about character development. Nothing. Okay, horror movies, by definition, pretty much can't have character development and things like that. Because the characters in horror movies, by definition, pretty much have to be morons. Okay? So you're in the horror movie, right? And you're with your four friends. And you're out there in the woods. And somebody is trying to kill you. Okay. Unless you're stupid, there's no horror movie because you have to at that point say, hey, let's all split up and go in different directions and look for the bad guy and let's make sure none of us take anything with us that might resemble a weapon. And then you have to go in five different directions except for Alice and Bob who have to get back together right around behind a tree and start having sex while they know somebody's trying to kill them. Okay, so people in horror, right? You're in the horror movie and you see this green glowing glob of stuff on the ground. You have to walk up and stick your finger into it so that you can get infected and turn into a zombie. Otherwise, there is no horror movie. Okay, if people in horror movies were not complete fucking morons, there would be no movie. Because normal people see a big glob of glowing green shit on the ground, they don't go stick their fucking finger in it. So my problem with American Horror Story is that however many episodes into this I'm into this, and I think I'm, what, six episodes in? I got another disc downstairs right now. So I think I'm about to start episode 7. All the main characters who actually live in this house where people get killed are all still alive. Now, they need to die. They're in a horror movie. you're in a horror movie only to die. That's the only purpose characters serve in a horror movie. Do stupid shit and die. All right, enough about that. Let me get a drink of water. And then we will talk about the stupid stuff on Facebook. Randy, where are we at on time? Of course we are. Great. All right, I better start on this, and then I can wrap up, if I have time, with a couple of short things. Short things, that's what she said. All right, here, well, I'm falling over again. I'm not even drunk. Maybe I drank too much coffee. I'm over-caffeinated. Fire, fire, fire. I am Cornholio. I must have TP for my bunghole, bunghole, bunghole. Bunghole, bunghole. All right. Just stop. Okay, here we go. Got on Facebook this morning, and one of the left-wing idiots I'm friends with was posting this, and I read it, and this is cracking me up. So we're going to go through this, and we are going to point out, you know, I'm just going to do the usual anarcho-capitalist analysis of this and explain to you why you're an idiot for being a statist. Here we go. Surfs up. The Navy appears to have achieved the holy grail of energy independence, turning seawater into fuel. Okay, now first of all, energy independence is extremely unlikely, especially because, you know, in our society today, with so much of what is manufactured and processed done in foreign countries, this constant desire for energy independence, it's not really going to happen as long as it involves any kind of fuel that has to be processed, refined, and as long as it involves mechanical equipment to process and refine that fuel. I mean, things are always going to be cheaper to make in other countries because, of course, here in the United States, we have all these statist regulations that make it too expensive to manufacture goods here in the United States, right? I mean, that's why Apple has slaves in China making their cell phones instead of making the fucking cell phone here. So we're not going to have energy independence. Even if we can turn seawater into fuel, the equipment to turn the seawater into fuel is going to have to be manufactured in foreign countries because you won't be able to manufacture it here because it's going to be too fucking expensive. So now here's a quote from wherever they got this information from. After decades of experiments, U.S. Navy scientist... U.S. Navy scientist, that's an oxymoron. They believe. Now see, here, first we have achieved the Holy Grail, but now it's just they believe that they may have solved. U.S. Navy scientists believe they may have solved one of the world's greatest challenges, how to turn seawater into fuel. I'm not sure how exactly turning seawater into fuel became one of the world's greatest challenges. I would suggest one of the world's greatest challenges is how to get upper middle class white people in America to stop murdering people in foreign countries via their support for the government of the United States. I would call that a great challenge. I mean, turning seawater into fuel, I think compared to that, would be relatively simple. Getting you fucking cocksuckers to stop supporting the murder of other humans simply because Obama has black skin, I would call that a great challenge. The rest of this quote says this: the new fuel is initially expected to cost around $3 to $6 per gallon, according to U.S. Naval Research Laboratory, which has already flown a model aircraft on it. Holy shit. They flew a model aircraft. I can fly a model aircraft with a rubber band. It's not a new alternative source of fuel. But, you know, hey, let's not be skeptical. And let's, as I read this also, You know, I haven't seen any evidence of the science behind this, yada, yada. For the purpose of this analysis, we are going to assume that this process is legitimate and it totally works, okay? We're not even going to sit here and try to argue the science. It'd be great if the science does work. I'm not saying the science doesn't work. That's really irrelevant to all the other arguments that are going to follow. Right, so we are proceeding as if this actually works, as if this is viable. Okay, now back to the writer of the blog post. This is no longer him quoting the original source, or her. I don't know if the writer is a him or a her. Curiously, this doesn't seem to be making much of a splash, no pun intended, on the evening news. Oh, slap your knees, kids. We made a pun. That's interesting. This isn't making much of a splash. Neither is the militarized assault on a rancher. That's not making the news much either. Isn't it interesting how things that don't really serve the interest of the government or the corporations or any other aspect of the state, like the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, the public education industrial complex. Isn't it amazing how things that don't serve the interest of the state, like thousands of armed police officers attacking a rancher, I mean, isn't it amazing how things that don't serve the interest of the state don't make the evening news? Wow, I'm really baffled by that. I wonder if the greatest scientist to ever live, Albert Einstein, would have a theory about that. Back to reading. Let's repeat this. The United States Navy has figured out how to turn seawater into fuel, and it will cost about the same as gasoline. Now, first of all, the quote says the U.S. Navy scientists believe they may have solved this problem. Okay, I believe that the CSU women's volleyball team may have sex with me. I do believe that. It is a fact. That is, hold on, I need a drink of water. I did not do any vocal warm-ups and I'm regretting it already. I believe that the CSU women's volleyball team may have sex with me. It is a verifiable fact that I believe that. I can verify this to myself that that is my belief. And the CSU women's volleyball team may have sex with me. That is a fucking verifiable belief. It is 100% possible that they might have sex with me. Now, is it probable? No, not really. The probability of the CSU women's volleyball team having sex with me, it's actually pretty fucking low. But it is possible, and I do believe it. So here we've got the U.S. Navy scientists believe this, and they may have solved it. Somehow or another, that has magically translated into the United States Navy has figured out how to turn seawater into fuel, and it will cost the same as gasoline. Let's talk about costing the same as gasoline. Again, we're operating on the premise that this process works. When you say it's going to cost about the same as gasoline, you're showing that you're a fucking moron. If you believe that, you are showing that you're a fucking moron. Let me explain to you before you get your fucking panties in a wad. Okay, oh great one, how dare you call me a fucking moron? Well, it's because you're a fucking moron, okay? It's like when I see a cute volleyball player and I say she's cute. I'm saying she's cute because she's fucking cute. Okay, I'm saying you're a moron because you're a fucking moron. Now, shut up and I'm going to explain why you're a moron. Nobody knows how much turning seawater into fuel is going to cost. Here's why. First of all, there is no structure there for turning seawater into fuel. See, there is an existing structural mechanism. Infrastructure is the word I'm looking for. There is an infrastructure in existence for turning crude oil into gasoline. Now, in order to convert seawater into fuel, you're going to have to build all the things needed to do that. there's somehow or another, there's this process that takes the seawater, turns it into fuel. That requires some kind of piece of machinery. You got to get the water out of the ocean. That means pumps. That means pipes. That means storage tanks. That means refining places where whatever refining process happens, where this process takes place, where this water is converted into fuel. And then is this fuel, I mean, I don't know, is this a liquid fuel? I'm reading here. Because there's a little bit more further on. Let's see, it says here, remove some seawater, blah, blah. And the gases are then converted to liquid hydrocarbons. So what I'm seeing here, and again, I don't have a full paper. I'm reading a very short, brief bit, which I'll read to you when I get to it. But so apparently the seawater, there's a process, and the seawater, a gas is taken from the seawater, and then this gas is converted to a liquid hydrocarbon. So where are you storing all of this liquid hydrocarbon? Got to have tanks. So you've got a liquid hydrocarbon. It's just like gasoline. You've got to have trucks to transport it around. You've got to have fuel stations to pump it. So are you going to reduce the amount of gasoline available at gas stations in favor of this? Are you going to build more gas stations? All of this has to take place. All of this infrastructure for this new panacea fuel source where we just get unlimited fuel from the fucking magic of unicorn farts. All of this infrastructure has to be built. That costs money. People have to learn the process of doing this and learn whatever is necessary in order to make this work, to make it effective. You have to train scientists in this new field. You have to train technicians in this field. You have to learn about it. That takes time. That takes money. And then, of course, there's the state. And we'll get to this a little bit more. But just to briefly mention, it's not like this isn't going to have the shit regulated out of it, right? There'll be taxes on it. Taxes will cost money. There will be regulations. All of the factories, all of the plants, all of the storage places for this new fuel, they will have to adhere to American with Disabilities Act. They'll have to pay property taxes, all this other stuff. There'll be this huge financial cost that is incurred simply by virtue of operating under the auspices of the state, under the control of the state. So there is absolutely no fucking way to accurately predict how much the final cost of this fuel, like by the gallon to the consumer, is going to be. There's no fucking way to know this. Oh, you can guess, but you don't know this. And also, it's going to be $3 to $6 a gallon. Well, fuck. I mean, there's a big difference between $3 a gallon and $6 a gallon. All right. Thank you, dear. Yes. Randy's notifying me all the time and telling me I need to get my shit in gear. All right, here we go. The next line. This technology is in its infancy and it's already this cheap? Question mark. Well, yes, because you're guessing about the price and because so far all it's been used for is flying a model airplane. So, yeah, it is this cheap because you're purely speculating, right? I mean, I can sit here right now and say that on my unicorn farm, I'm going to sell unicorns for only $10 each. And you're going to say, wow, that's really cheap. And I'm like, yeah, it sure is, because I haven't actually fucking done anything yet. The price of this alternative fuel will not go up until you actually start trying to implement it. And you find out you have to pay all the taxes and all the regulations and all the fees and all the environmental studies and all the ADA requirements and all of the business licensings and then do all the science and then build all the factories and then build all the pipes and then, oh shit, repair the pipes and then find out which things are done wrong and then redo them and then transport it across the country. And then it's like, hey, if you don't live next to the ocean, where the fuck are you getting the seawater from? I'm confused about that. Oh, it'll just fucking fall out of the sky along with unicorn farts, right? So you're gonna, are you gonna get the seawater to fucking Ohio? No, you're gonna have to take the refined fuel to Ohio. How are you gonna take it there? In trucks, where the trucks run on. Trucks run on fucking fossil fuels. Boom. shut the fuck up. Oh yeah, and so then, remember, this is only going to cost $3 to $6 a gallon. Great. Unless it can be directly substituted for gasoline, what the hell is going to run on this shit? We'll get to that. We'll come to that. All right, fuck it. I'm just going to do it now. So let's see. So there's two people sitting in a room. One of them is the CEO of an automobile corporation that was just bailed out by the Obama administration using taxpayer money. The other person sitting in the room is the steward of a automobile corporation union. The United Auto Workers of America, that's who they're called. Shop steward, United Auto Workers of America. So you're sitting in the room and somebody comes up and says to you, hey, I just heard the best news ever. There's a new fuel that can be made from seawater and it's going to cost the same amount as gasoline. And now people are going to be able to build automobiles that run on that fuel and we're not going to have to use gasoline anymore. Isn't that great? And then the guy's going to walk away. Do you really think that the United Auto Workers shop steward and the CEO of the multi-billion dollar international automobile manufacturing corporation that was bailed out with your tax money, do you think they're going to look at each other and go, wow, this is great. In a couple of years, we'll be out of a job. Do you think that's going to happen? Wow, this is tough. I wonder what the greatest scientist in history, Albert Einstein, would say about this. Here's what's going to happen. They are going to run, the CEO is going to go to the Republicans, and the shop steward is going to go to the Democrats. They are going to run to the government and immediately pay their politicians, whom they own, large amounts of money to pass laws to make this technology illegal. I mean, we're done. We're finished here. Okay, this technology is not coming. It's not fucking coming. Even if it's true, it's not coming. Because, and this is, and we're not even counting the fact that the fossil fuels, petrochemical, oil, industrial complex is going to be paying their politicians not to do this. And as we'll see, well, let me just keep reading. What happens when it's refined and perfected? Oil is only getting more expensive as easy to reach deposits are tapped. So this is truly, as it's being called, a game changer. Well, no, it's not. Oil is getting more expensive for multitudes of reasons, not just because the easy to reach deposits are being tapped. There are plenty of oil deposits. I know those of you who are tree hugging hippies don't like to hear that. And you've all been running around screaming how we're about to run out of oil, and you've been saying that for, what, 20 years, 30 years? Sadly, we are not about to run out of oil. I've just do some fucking actual research that is not reading blog posts on left-wing blogs. There is, whether you like it or not, shit tons of oil still in the ground. We have plenty of oil. We can burn the shit out of it. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. In some ways, I wish you were right. I think, because if we really were running out of oil, then we would have to find an alternative fuel. Do you really, are you people, you are this stupid. I was about to ask, are you really this stupid? Of course you are. If the oil supply really was about to, so if the oil supply runs out, what happens to the petrochemical industrial complex? If there's no more oil coming out of the ground, what happens to them? They go out of business. If we were really about to run out of oil, don't you think the petrochemical corporations would be looking for a replacement for it? Now, granted, they would be looking for this replacement and trying to make damn sure only they had access to the replacement, but they'd be looking for a replacement. The automobile corporations that were bailed out by Obama with your tax money would be looking for fuel, looking for automobiles. Man, God, researching and trying to build automobile. Wow, I cannot talk. The automotive corporations that were bailed out with your tax money by Obama would be looking for automobiles, researching automobiles that could run on fuel other than gasoline if they had even the slightest belief that we were about to run out of gasoline in the near future. Because if we run out of gasoline, then nobody will buy automobiles that run on gasoline, which means the automobile corporations that were bailed out by Obama with your tax money are going to go out of business. Do you think the United Auto Workers and the CEOs of the automobile corporations that were bailed out by Obama with your tax money are going to go out of business? Do you think that's going to happen? Apparently you do, because you're a statist and you're just stupider than shit. You're literally, truly stupid. If I shit right now, if I dropped my pants, I'm actually not wearing any pants, if I squatted down right now over a paper plate and shit on that paper plate and then let that shit assume room temperature, that would be cold shit on a paper plate. And you are stupider than that if you actually believe that these corporations know we're going to run out of oil in the near future and they're not doing anything about it. If we were really going to run out of oil in the near future, that would stimulate them to get off their ass and find an alternative source of fuel. Now, of course, there's the whole problem that because we live in a statist society, and I'll get to this. Let me just do it now. Fuck it. Here's the other reason that this isn't going to get implemented. Because if this really works, in a free society, well, in free society, there would be no Navy murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots and bombs and napalm and all this other shit. So we might not actually know about this yet. But then again, maybe we would have known about it sooner, because in a free society where people could do scientific research without the burden of government regulations and having to get permission from the government and funding only coming from the government, maybe this discovery would have been made sooner. So let's say that this works. This fuel works. It's true. If the existing automobile corporations choose not to build automobiles that run on this fuel, who's going to do it? In a free society, people could get together and start building automobiles that ran on this fuel. But of course, we don't live in a free society. We live in a statist society, where even though I know you stupid people think we live in a capitalist society, that we have capitalism, that we have a free market, all this other shit, which we don't, the truth is that if some people got together and started building automobiles that ran on alternative fuel, the government would come in and crush them. Absolutely fucking crush them. First, it would attempt to crush them by simply throwing regulations at them, telling them you have to be unionized, you know, you got to provide health insurance, you got to do all this stuff. They would immediately begin driving the cost up. So most likely, these people would just go out of business because they couldn't afford it. I mean, this is how the monopoly held by the corporations is maintained. I've talked about this a gazillion times before, right? With big corporations like Walmart or Starbucks or whatever, whenever all these regulations come down, or the automobile corporations or the petrochemical corporations or the prison industrial complex, all of these giant money-making corporations that hold monopolies, the regulations don't affect them because they have so much fucking money they can deal with it. But the amount of regulations prevents anybody from starting a new business. And again, as always, you can prove me wrong. Go out there and start a business and start manufacturing automobiles that run on an alternative fuel and start selling them. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And the first thing you'll say is, well, but great one, we don't have enough money to start we have to build a plant to manufacture the cars and get robots and employees, and we have to get metal to come in, all the research and development. Well, how can we afford that? Well, that's my fucking point, dumbass. How can you afford that? You can't, because you live in a statist society. And the cost, the financial cost of the regulations and the taxes and all of the other shit foisted upon you by the state prevents you from doing this. Because, of course, you're a free person and you can do whatever you want because you're free. Except, of course, for start a business that competes with any of the corporations. And for this exact same reason, no private entity is going to be able to start a business turning the seawater into this fuel. It'll be labeled as, see, right now it's about, oh, this whole thing is somehow great this is. If some private entrepreneurs started doing this, you know, you'd hear about how this is destroying the environment, about how it's a toxic chemical, about how it has to be regulated. The fucking EPA would come in, OSHA would come in, the government put regulations on it, it had to be labeled, all this other shit. There would be this immediate attempt by the state, the government, and the corporations to stifle the development of this new fuel. So it doesn't matter if the shit can fly a model airplane or not. It's not going to happen. Because we do not live in a free society where somebody can just start producing this fuel and start producing automobiles, or maybe start off easy like motorcycles and motor scooters that run on this fuel. It's not going to happen. Innovation, and this is something that I've been meaning to talk about for a while. I mean, if you look around at our society right now, science is dead. It's completely fucking dead. We are making no progress. I mean, we're still driving around in cars that burn fossil fuels. Why? Because nobody's making scientific progress. There is no fucking practical scientific progress going on here. It's dead. I'm not really prepared to talk about that in depth, so let me just skip that. But people think, well, my iPhone is smaller this year than last year. That's not science. That is technology. That's a completely different thing. Science is turning seawater into fuel. That's science. That's moving forward. If this really happens, this would be science moving forward. And this is why it's not going to happen. Because anytime science moves forward, it, just as I've been saying this whole time, will put the automobile corporations out of business, or at least force them to change their ways. It will put the petrochemical corporations out of business, or at least force them to change their ways. And the corporations and the government are not going to let that happen. Those corporations own too many politicians, and the politicians control what you're allowed to do, what you're allowed to own, what you're allowed to think, because you, of course, are a free person in your fucked up little mind. Okay, so it's science has been absolutely stifled because scientific progress means changes in society. If society changes, this is the last thing the corporations and the government want. They don't want things to change. If things change, they lose their monopolies. Jesus fucking Christ. Thanks, Randy. We are almost at the end of the show. And yeah, I'm standing here fucking off. Okay. Next thing he writes is, I expect the GOP to go ballistic over this and try to legislate it out of existence. I love how it's only the GOP. Last time I checked, Obama is the president. And I'm pretty sure the Democrats control one of the houses of Congress at least. And then there's the other question. So why do we live in a society where one political party, the GOP, it's only the GOP, why do we live in a society where the GOP can regulate things out of existence? I mean, if this is a free country, and if you're a free person and you own your own body, I mean, statists say things like this, the GOP will legislate it out of existence. Well, why do you want to live in a society where a political party can legislate science and technology out of existence? In an anarcho-capitalist society, nobody could legislate this out of existence. People would be free to process, refine, use alternative fuel sources. If, in fact, the GOP can and does regulate this out of existence, that only happens because you want it to happen. This is a democracy, remember. And democracies, the government performs the will of the people. When Obamacare was passed by the government and signed by Obama, passed by Congress, signed by Obama, that's because that's what the people wanted. And if Congress passes regulations that say you can't use this alternative fuel source, and if the president signs it, well, that's because that's what the people want. That's democracy. So, I mean, you have your choice. You can have freedom in an anarcho-capitalist society and have alternative fuel, or you can live in a statist society, and what you're allowed to do can be controlled by the corporations and the government. Those of you who are statists, like the cocksucker who wrote this, have very openly and actively chosen to live in a statist society. He has chosen to have his actions regulated by the state. Well, welcome to the fucking world you created. Then there's just more crap about Republicans, you know, yada, yada, yada. Okay, the Republicans are evil. Yes, we got that. The Republicans only have power because you obey them. Okay, when the government passes a law, you're the one who obeys the law. You give them the power. Then there's the thing about how wonderful this is for the environment, because, you know, yada, 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 global warming, of course. Then, of course, this will devastate oil-rich countries, but it will also get us the hell out of the Middle East. Let's be honest, we're not in the Middle East for humanitarian reasons. We're there for oil, period. Exactly. And so here's another problem with this. If this would actually get us out of the Middle East, who would be threatened by that? Well, the military-industrial complex would be threatened by that. We have to have wars. If we don't have war, what is the justification for the military-industrial complex? So this alternative fuel is not going to happen. Not only are the automobile corporations going to oppose it, the petrochemical corporations oppose it, the United Auto Workers oppose it, the military-industrial complex is going to oppose it. This is going to be opposed at every level of the state. And the reason it will never come to pass is because of the state. And the fact that you statists don't understand this, and that you think this would happen tomorrow if it weren't simply for those damn Republicans. I mean, I hate Republicans as much as you do. But the problem here is that the Republicans, by themselves, are not the source of every fucking problem. The source of the fucking problem is the state as a whole. It's not part of the state. It's not a little part of the state called the Republicans that do all the bad things, and the rest of the state is like unicorns farting rainbows. The whole fucking state is the problem.